Popcorn World.
Yes, I can. So you can get this groove in the back of a can. You can make it around the world with the holes in your hand. Popcorn World. 250 flavors gonna make you smile. 250 flavors gonna make you smile. 250 flavors gonna make you smile.
That's that popcorn make you smile. Ah. Popcorn World.
Popcorn World.
We're back and better than ever. All eyes are on the gridiron as teams are back on to start another football season. Hi, it's Lloyd Spence, and as always, BetOnline is your number one spot for all the pro and college football action this season. With a new and updated site and interface, even more odds, props, and content, BetOnline continues to be the number one source for everything football. So, head to the website and use your mobile device to sign up today to receive your, I still can't believe it, 100% welcome bonus. That's double your initial deposit just for signing up. Look, don't forget to use promo code NFL100. It's BetOnline, the fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite sports. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts, and tell them the Noisemaker sent you.
You're now listening to the lead in the ACC. Hockey Trophy winner and Florida State legend, Mr. Charlie Ward, Wake 3 TV and Ferndale Hall of Famer Kendrick Haskins, and Mr. Talking Noise himself, and of course Mama Noise, Lloyd Spence. And now it's time for Believe in the ACC.
Glad to be on with you here tonight, coming on a little bit later than we normally do, but still fresh and ready to go. That handsome devil to my immediate right on the screen is Kendrick Haskins, and that is Coach Ward tonight. That is, when he walked into the locker room tonight, that wasn't Heisman Trophy winner Charlie Ward or Florida State legend Charlie Ward. That was just Coach Ward that walked into the locker room tonight.
Well, I'm always Coach Ward.
Well, now you were, listen, we didn't know you as Coach Ward when we were watching you. We knew you as that bad man, Charlie Ward.
Or Junior.
Or Junior.
That'll work too.
That'll work too. Yeah. What you chewing on tonight, Charlie? That look like some ice cream, or what is that? Is that your favorite ice cream? Here it comes. Was is that a yogurt? Is that a yogurt? Okay. All right.
So delicious. Coconut milk.
Coconut milk. Oh, that sounds.
You should try it.
Yeah, that's not gonna happen, Charlie.
Not coconut milk.
I
but you should try the coconut milk yogurt. You will like it. Get a flavor. Blueberry, peach.
Are you
peach,
doing it?
Peach sounds good.
Even vanilla's is tasty.
Yeah, I'm not doing it. But I appreciate the offer. I appreciate the offer. Good job. Listen, we got a lot to jump into right now on Believe in the ACC, and we asked the question, is it panic time or just calm down time? I should have went with relax. If I'd have been thinking, I'd have said relax, like that bad man Aaron Rodgers, as they say. But I went with calm. So
that dude is a bad man.
Listen, I don't want to get too far off the beaten path, but last night when they left in 37 seconds, I said, so the Packers are going to win. you can't be leaping in 30 seconds. That's just asking
He's
for
like
a
Tom
loss.
Brady.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's just asking for a loss. So mm-hmm. Anyway.
It's just certain guys that you know.
Mm-hmm. What'd you say?
I said, it's just certain guys you know you can't leave time on the clock.
No, you cannot leave them time on the clock. They will pick you apart. But we may circle back to that here at the end of the show. But I want to get into some ACC talk because we had a very, very revealing week in. And I want to start in a very unconventional place. We know that Clemson lost. We know that a lot of things happened this weekend, maybe revealing some strengths in places we didn't think there would be. So my first question to start the night off is, well, I got to hit the wrong button. Can an ACC team – no, I did the right button. That was the right button. Will there be a new ACC champion this year?
I say yes. I feel like that's not going to be Clemson's last loss this season. I think there's going to be another loss somewhere down the road, probably on the road. I don't really see anybody going in Death Valley and knocking them off, but I can see them losing on the road again. And so I think there will be a different ACC champion this year.
All right. Charlie, what do you say?
I potentially see that happening as well. You know, I kind of go back to when we had our run at Florida State, where, you know, everything was great for like 6-7 years or even longer than that. And then we had our first loss, I think it was either at Virginia or North Carolina State. One of the
it was
two.
At Virginia.
and you know, that kind of broke the seal. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure if we won the ACC that year or not, but it kind of brought us back to the pack. I mean, we didn't lose very many games, I think, after those years, you know, but it did get to a point where teams were, you know, they didn't fear. They didn't have that fear anymore. And mm-hmm. But Clemson's been, you know, skating by. They really haven't been playing well offensively. Defensively, they've been playing lights out, and that's where they've been winning games. And, mm-hmm. I mean, we all kind of called it, you know, in our picks that I don't want
to say. Not all of us called it, Charlie. One of us refused to call it. Now, he called it on our group text, but he didn't call it, you know, officially.
I think I get a half of that because I called it in the morning.
That's true. That's a good point. I'm willing to give you a half of Charlie here.
So I think it'll be another ACC.
Well, you said the thing that I was going to say, Charlie. The one thing that I saw out of that game with NC State, going into the fourth quarter, there was no fear in NC State's eyes. Even when they screwed up and the game went to overtime, they still looked confident. And I'm saying, man, when the fear factor leaves the team, all bets are off. And so I don't think people fear Clemson this year. They're not worried that they're going to come out and hang, that you got to come to the game with 30 points. They're not worried that you got to now that defense is, I think, of Clemson's is pretty good. Yeah, I do think it's pretty good. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But no defense can stay on the field for 60 minutes. Right. So I think we're headed toward a couple of, maybe one or two more losses, if I'm being honest. I think there's one or two more losses coming for Clemson.
I hope one of them is to Florida State.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't want to touch
that. Upset.
I don't want to touch that one. At least not this.
Man, I'm hopeful.
There's nothing wrong with hope. Nothing wrong with hope.
Hope springs eternal.
Hope springs eternal. So that brings me to my second question before we get into the review. Can an ACC team not named Clemson make the college football playoffs? Because I heard a lot of people saying that the ACC has lost its path to the playoffs.
No.
Do you believe that?
I believe it.
You do believe that?
Yeah.
Wow. You got to tell us why.
Well, for one, Clemson's still the only team that's ranked right now.
I don't know. NC State is ranked.
NC State
got it. Wake Forest. Yeah, so is Wake Forest.
Well, they're not going to jump all over all of those teams and get to the Final Four because even if they are as good as those teams, they're not going to play the schedule because the ACC's the way they're looked at right now, the reputation of the ACC, they're not going to get ranked high enough to get up there. So no, I don't see it happening.
Okay.
They're going to have to look at them if they don't lose. I mean, even if they don't get in.
They'll look at them like they look at mid-majors. What?
As weird as this is going to sound, I think there might be one team who could potentially – I was looking at all the schedules. And if there was a team to win out and could pull it off, and I'm not saying they will. Now, let me start my statement by saying this. I don't know or believe that they will ultimately win out. Because I have a feeling that the ACC is going to be won by two, possibly three loss team. I mean, that's just how it's going to be. But Louisville with Wake Forest this weekend is interesting.
Yeah.
It's very interesting because one of those two teams have the offensive prowess to win out. Now, I don't know if they can do it defensively, but offensively, maybe.
Who is that? At least
Louisville or Wake Forest. They're both interesting teams to me.
With losing Brayton Smith for the year, they announced that.
Oh, is that official?
Yeah, he's out for the year.
He tore some
knees. I saw that. It's going to be hard. And they already lost Montgomery.
Yeah, I retract my last statement.
And so it's going to be tough. I mean, they played well for a half, and then second half against Florida State. They got ultra conservative, but I'd like to see it, but I don't see Louisville winning out.
I retract my last statement. I was not aware.
This was Saturday.
Yeah, this was a Braden is coming back statement. This is not a. I apologize to everyone for listening. That's a big blow. That's a big blow. Maybe they can regroup. I don't know, but they didn't look prepared to lose him Saturday.
No, once he went out, their offense just stopped.
It was just, that was the end. So
they just quit pulling the ball all together.
Yeah, now I'm curious to see what they're going to do going forward. So let's jump right into a recap real quick. We'll start with the game we just started about. A shocking game to me in its totality because Louisville came out the gate blazing, and then in the second half, it was like they couldn't find their offense. And it got real conservative, which was weird.
I think it goes back to what we was just saying, that apparently the whole game plan was around Brayton Smith. Because he went out and like they totally just threw their offense completely off. And so
– well, if that is the case, then they are in way more trouble than
– But the weird thing was, I mean, he was having an okay game. He wasn't having a game that, you know, where he was dominating. They were spreading the ball around. It wasn't just him. Jordan Watkins had his first touchdown.
Yeah.
He was getting the ball to Marshawn Ford. And they were just crushing him on third down. But he went out.
Let me tell you what happened in the second half. The first half – Louisville, you know, they were really offensively having their way. I mean, whatever they wanted to do, whether it was run, well, really not really run, but like pass, and there was nothing they were able to do. But what really happened in the second half was Louisville, yes, they got a little conservative, but those same pass plays that they were hitting, they were being covered because they started dropping linebackers in the zone on some of the bootleg stuff. They were covering guys that were running free in the first half, like the guy who was dragging. The safety was picking them up. And then in the run game, the defensive line decided they wanted to, you know, be a part of that part. And so really what happened was, yes, they got conservative, but they were being covered with some of the things that they were doing early on. And that's how the game got to where it was, you know, close. It wasn't like Louisville wasn't doing the same things. You know, they were running some of the same things, but they, granted, they had two touchdowns called back or two long runs. I'll just say that.
Right.
With holding penalties. And so that kind of threw things off as well. And so I don't know. Defensively, they gave up some big plays, but they've been doing that all year though.
Yeah, I think they have to find a better balance between letting Malik do what he does with his legs and those RPOs, choice moments. And I, for some reason, and it may be exactly what you said, Charlie, those linebackers dropping back the way they did. Maybe I don't think that it confused Malik, but it definitely limited his choices. But at that same time, that means he's got to learn, okay, if it's not there, man, get what you can get and live to fight another day. And I didn't see enough of his choices. And even the few times he did finally do it, like you said, they got called back. So, but it was an interesting game. But I want to go to the other side of the football for just a second. First of all, I want to give Florida State credit for fighting back in that game, because you know, to be down 31-7 can be you know, a lot, you know, for a team to have to overcome. But they did get back in the game and make it a game.
Got back in the game running the ball. That's what was impressive.
Right. Oh, man. Well, listen, the combination of number 8, is it Ward? Is that his name?
Yeah, Trayshawn Ward.
And Zero, whatever Zero's name is. They were really dynamic. Yeah.
Corbin.
I did not forget him because he dominated. What was interesting about his running, which it was a weird pattern, he would break one for like 25 yards, and then on the very next play, he couldn't get to the line of scrimmage. You'd be like, okay, he's just tired, or what, you know what it was. But it was a weird pattern that had developed throughout the game. But nevertheless, like you said on this show last week, you guys have a running game. That's the strength of the offense. They got to find ways to lean more on that running game. And then, you know, shorten those third downs to where, okay, we're not in these third and longs. We're in a third and three because we ran the ball so well the first couple of times, or some kind of mix-up variation of that. But you can't keep throwing out a third and tens and third and elevens and, or third and eights and stuff. That makes it hard, especially when you don't have a receiver that has truly stepped up and said, I own this, you know, I own this part of the game. So that was what was interesting to me about the comeback. It was all really the run game. I do want to ask you, Charlie, do you still believe that McKenzie is the better option?
Yes.
Okay.
Because the passing game, he throws on time. I mean, that's all I can say. Is he throws in the windows, he throws on time, he throws when guys are, you know, getting ready to turn. You know, when I look at quarterback play, that's what I look at.
Gotcha.
You know, there's some things that he probably could do better as far as throwing, you know, back shoulder and doing more of that.
Right.
But he's not going to be your run threat like Travis or even Chubba. So he's not going to be a run threat that way. But what he does is he knows where he wants to go to football most of the time. Like most quarterbacks that are, you know, I don't say dynamic, but that have his skill set where he can't really move in the pocket or, you know, what have you. And so I just think with the run game we have, that's going to be the best option. I would like to see more short passes, you know. You know, especially on first down or second down to try to, you know, move, keep the sticks moving. And then, you know, taking your chances, you know, some way, some other way. But right now, you know, we're getting pressure. But even with the pressure, we still should be able to get the ball out in somebody's hands to be able to, you know, make things happen. But, you know, Louisville did a good, great job of running their defense. I mean, they ran three-man front sometimes and dropped eight. And when you drop eight guys, it's hard, you know, to try to
find. Especially when they still get pressure when they drop eight. That's
right.
That's what impressed me about them. They were still getting pressure.
That was really a shocking game plan to me because I was like, wow, they're going to stick to this. And it worked. I mean, it, you know, listen, it ain't a bad game plan if it works.
It's only right. If it don't.
So I do want to address this, though. Today, I guess this was today, at the press conference for Florida State, Coach Mike Norvell did address the 0-4 start, and he had some interesting statements to say. He said, yeah, I'm pissed off that we're 0-4, and we can bring up how many years it's been. I can't control that. I can control this team at this moment and right now with the opportunity. So we're going to work our butts off to go get better, and we're going to do it the right way. Then he goes down and says, I've been a part of teams when they've been on a losing streak. They didn't get caught up with all the crap that was on the outside and everybody telling you what you can't do and, oh, this is the issue. It's easy to point at that, but who wants to be a part of the solution? Those are the guys we're going after. First of all, shout out to him for standing in that in the foxhole today for those about, I think it was like a 3-minute statement he made there, and Caitlin kind of taking those bullets, so to speak. But I'll say this, the challenge that I think he has and that Florida State has as a whole is, can they block, like with any team, can they block out the noise? And we live in a hyper overreactive society right now. Everything is more than what it actually is. Everything doesn't matter. A loss is never just a loss. It's, oh man, we got to call for this guy's job. Well, hold on. I don't know if the guy, listen, are they getting better? What is the totality of the game? So I wonder, and I ask you and I ask Kendrick, can Florida State team, and even I would dare say the administration, block out the noise? Or does this at some point become overwhelming to the point where you have to address it?
What do you mean address it?
Well, listen, I've watched it here in this state of mine, Texas. It's happened several times where the losses begin to mount, the noise gets too loud, and they make a change.
Texas is different, but when it comes to that piece. But, I mean, I sat and watched the interview today as well, and he said a lot of things, you know, in that interview, just pertaining to the game, and also one of that part of that was part of talking to the recruits.
Right.
As well, when he was talking about, you know, they're going after guys that want to be a part of the solution
right. And
the turnaround. Because they see opportunities. But as I mentioned, you know, when we start talking about, yes, the record is 0-4, but the three out of four games is one possession games. Mm-hmm. And so there are teams that are 4-0, and three of their games could be last second wins.
Yeah.
Three out of four games are last second wins. One possession games. And so that's my whole issue thing that I keep preaching is, I mean, three out of four games are one possession games, and they could have gone either way in some form or fashion. If things go according to plan or, you know, here or there or whatever. But, you know, the Wake Forest game was different. But Wake Forest is beating everybody. So at this point, the same way. So it didn't really matter who it is. At this point, they're beating everybody the same way. And so I just think, you know, even if, and I've said this even with Coach Taggart when he was the coach, if you go 3-8 or whatever it was, and you're competitive, like you're in one possession games and you're competitive, then it's hard to, you know, say we need to change and all those types of things. But, you know, if you're 3-8 and you're not competitive, then that's something totally different. Mm-hmm. And you've lost the locker room or what have you. But I guarantee you, if I go to practice tomorrow, you probably wouldn't be able to tell that they were 0-4. Mm. I mean, I went over there on Friday, or I saw them on Friday, and I was talking to Coach Norvo, and Mike Golick Jr. went to practice because he called a game.
Right.
And he was like, are y'all 0-4? I mean, 0-3 at the time?
Yeah.
And he couldn't tell that they were winless on the season because of the energy, because of the you know, the passion they were playing with the game or for the game. And so it's been that way. I just say it just hadn't happened right now. I mean, you know, they're putting the time in, they're putting the work in, all those things. It's just not happening for them right now. And so that's normal. I mean, that's sometimes that's what happens. And so
I feel like if they can get a win, they could go on a little streak. They just got to get a win and get that positive reinforcement. And they get a win, they may be able to go on a little run.
Yeah, the difference between winning and losing is not – the margin for most teams is not that great of a margin. And so it's a mistake here, it's a mistake there, it's a decision here, it's a decision there. Now, I will say this. I was not crazy about either one of those fourth down calls in the game. But I do understand because you're trying to show confidence in your team. I just didn't think those were good calls. But having said that, if they work – we're having a different conversation today. So you do what you do. You try what you try. You hope that it works. You know, that's where we are. You're trying to find something to ignite this team into a winning mindset and a winning culture. So I get it. Let's jump into the next one. You guys mentioned Wake Forest. Wake Forest right now, in my humble opinion, looks like the best team in the ACC.
They're playing right now. Wake Forest is playing lights out. I think they're by far the best team in the ACC.
Yeah.
Is that game with Clemson? Is that at Clemson or is it at Wake Forest?
The one this weekend is at Wake Forest. Oh, at Clemson, you said?
Yeah, when they play Clemson.
Oh, keep – talk amongst yourselves. I'll have to find that one.
Well, my man Charlie's struggling down there. Did it go down the wrong pipe? You all right over there?
I was trying to work around it so nobody would notice. Go ahead.
When they play Clemson, I think that'll be huge. I'm thinking Clemson's going to turn around.
Are they?
I mean, I still can't figure out how
That was at Clemson. It's the second to last game. Yeah.
It just depends on where Clemson's season is at that point. I still got faith in Dabo that he'll get things turned around. They still have talented players. I mean, Charlie, you tell me, on that last play – it didn't seem like the receiver could have made just a little bit better effort to catch that ball. I mean, it wasn't that far out of reach. It just kind of like short-armed it.
At Florida State?
No, the
overtime game with Tennessee State. Yeah.
Yeah, it looked funny. Like he didn't give an effort to raise his hand to catch the ball with either hand.
And maybe he was tired. I don't know. No,
it was good coverage by the DB. I mean, the DB's right there, but it just seems like he kind of short-armed it to reach out and grab it.
Well, yeah, since we're already talking about the Clemson game, let's just go there. I listen, I sent you guys a screenshot of my screen on Saturday. I was watching all three games at the same time. The Louisville game, the Clemson game. Of course, I have to watch my Arkansas Razorbacks because we haven't been relevant in a long time. Yeah, we haven't been relevant in a long time, Charlie, so I have to watch it. But that Clemson game was interesting, and especially the one thing about Clemson to me, they absolutely lost that. When they lost, people say they lost a lot in Trevor Lawrence. No, they lost a lot in Trevor Etienne. That running game is not there. And it doesn't feel like, now I could be wrong, but it doesn't feel like it's coming anytime soon. So it may come toward the end of the year, but not right now.
The issue is not the running backs, maybe. I don't think it is.
It's the offensive line.
It's the offensive line.
Yeah, yeah, they're not getting any push.
It's not getting push. And when you don't get push, I don't care who you have out there running.
Right. It's going to be tough.
And so I think that's where they're kind of losing it right now is the offensive line.
So I ask you this question. Coach Ward, because we need Coach Ward tonight. How do you fix an offensive line?
I've never seen it happen during the season. Have you, Charlie?
It's just tough because you try to do technique. You try to just keep all the fundamentals things that you're doing. But they're playing some young guys now, and they're just having to learn. And so I think the defense has been keeping them in games.
No question. It's been
obvious that the defense is keeping them in games. And so it's just one of those things where they've been winning off of, tradition and, winning culture. Because offensively, they've been not very good.
Yeah.
But I just think, at some point it was just even this game, the Notre Dame, the Notre Carolina State game, probably shouldn't have been close, but the defense was solid. And offensively, they found ways to get things done. And so it was just one of those deals, man, where they just weren't able to overcome, their shortcomings.
And I think I like what Coach Ward said earlier about talking about when Florida State lost that first game to Virginia. And it seems like it gave the rest of the conference hope once that happened. And I think you're going to see the same thing in this situation. But at the same time, I'm not going to say Clemson season is going to go totally in the tank. But I do see another loss down the road.
Well, three losses for Clemson is by comparison to what they've done, is a tank. It's a bad season.
I don't see 7-5 coming.
I don't see it, but listen, if the teams that are good or appear to be good live up to what is currently happening, it's not an impossibility. It's not an impossibility, but I don't see it. But, listen.
But who outside of Wake Forest right now do you feel like can beat Clemson?
See, prior to Braden Smith going down, I said Louisville's offense looks solid enough to maybe at least make it interesting. Now I don't know. Now it's going to be interesting to see if they can pull it off. But I don't know what Boston College is yet. Like, what are they? Like, can you say definitively that Boston College is, with all of the experience that they have and the studs that they have at key positions, that they can't beat Clemson?
Well, my only issue is their defense. I don't know how solid their defense is.
Right.
Even though Clemson doesn't have they're struggling right now offensively.
Yeah.
But Boston College's defense, the offensively, I think they're solid, but defensively, who are they?
Right.
Yeah, no question. I just don't know if Clemson has enough offense to even make it matter.
One way I can give Louisville a glimmer of hope in that game against Clemson is Louisville's defense has been stout. And if they get everyone, and they're not going to get Montgomery back, but they still, Abdullah's been playing well, and Yaya Diaby's been playing well. Keytrell Carton with 13, who got that interception to end the game. They've all been playing decent footballs.
Yeah.
So if they can show that up, it's going to be a good game.
Yeah. As I predicted to you both. Until he proves that he can be consistent, I will continue to pick against him.
Yeah, he struggled a little bit.
What did that man do to you, man?
And I don't understand why. I do not, because I see the talent. I see his talent. I just do not understand why. I don't get it. I'm so perplexed by Sam Howell. I'm so perplexed.
As soon as I saw, because I didn't see any of that game. As soon as I saw the score, you were the first person I thought of.
Go ahead, Charlie.
Right now, to be honest, to be fair, it's not all Sam Howell because their defense gave up 45 points.
Right, Sam Howell got on the defense.
And they struggled. I mean, they struggled to tackle Jeff Sims, who came in. And, I mean, he was like RG3.
Yeah.
Back there. He was throwing it. He was running. And they had a tough time tackling him. And so that, if anything that's going to hinder them from being successful, is going to be their defense, because they had the same issue against Virginia.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They gave up 39 points against Virginia.
Right.
So I don't know if it, I mean, they scored 59, but they gave up 39.
Right.
And so
we might be finding out a lot about their whole team as opposed to just one guy. Yeah, correct. I agree with you. Mm-hmm.
He's not performing like we thought he would or expecting him.
Yeah.
But he's
performing like I thought he
was. That's how low it expected him.
Yeah, no. He's performing exactly like I thought he would. Be very clear about that. So there you go. Now, I'm going to blame you two for me picking this one wrong. I totally blame, because I wanted to ride with my guy, Dino Paper. I wanted to ride with him, and I let y'all talk me out of it. And then this happened. Shout out to Syracuse, though. Huh?
I said, that was a very good game.
Listen, shout out to Syracuse. Listen, you win the game that's in front of you.
Hey, they lost to Liberty last year, so that's
a good win. They lost to Liberty last year.
Yeah, so that's a good win for them.
But that's a good win. And Liberty's good. Liberty is a good team. So I shout out to them for getting that win, big-time win. To Charlie's earlier point, Boston College won the game. Their offense can't score.
I'm still trying to figure out why they stormed the field for beating Missouri.
Well, listen, I guess when you beat an SEC team, the next thing you do is storm a field. I don't know. I don't get it either. But
maybe it's because of the coach's comments.
Yeah, no, though they had that going in. It's like it didn't take long for Missouri to get that SEC arrogance on them, but still.
Why, though? It's not like they've done anything since they've been in the SEC. Right. It's one thing to be arrogant. It's another thing to be arrogant without justification.
My favorite shot from that game.
Yeah.
Is just when they show the shot of the interception from the other end zone.
Yeah.
And it's like the ball is in the air, and there's a lady standing in the end zone, and she knew there was going to be an interception, and jumping up and down celebrating before he even picked it up.
Nice. Nice. Very nice.
You can see her celebrate before the ball even. It's even caught.
Well, speaking of celebrations, Pitt rebounded quite nicely. Nothing like a bouncing back with I just feel bad for New Hampshire because they have to be the person they bounce back against. How long is a set, Charlie? You've probably beaten some teams like this before. How long is a 77-7 game? Like, if you're on the other side of that game, how long is that game?
Which side?
When you're beating someone 77-7, is that a long game? Like, What are you guys talking about at that point?
I've been a part of some blowouts. And normally, we are, whatever, preparing for the third quarter to be to play one possession.
Right.
And the rest have you ever gotten hungry in a blowout and wanted to go to the, like?
Young players, some run. You know, that's kind of the thing. The kids, the guys who used to play the walk-ons and some of the guys who didn't play a lot, you know, they were excited about those types of games because they knew they were going to get a chance to play.
Yeah. Have you ever gotten hungry in a blowout and been like, man, I really would like to go to the concession stand right now, but that would be inappropriate. They would notice if Charlie Ward went to the concession stand.
No, man. They had food in the locker room.
Right. Oh, okay, so you just fix your plate. At
the food in the locker room.
Bring it back to you.
Matter of fact, and since we have all these NIL deals, shout out to the referee in the Louisville, Florida State game who broke out his pack of Skittles during the game. I'm assuming it was probably for health reasons. I don't want to make that assumption, but I'm assuming that's what it was. But
I'm sure, yeah.
My man had a bag of Skittles, so Skittles needs to give that man an endorsement deal.
I'm just saying.
Broke them out right there on camera.
I'm just saying.
Fantastic.
So people with, what is it? They have to have Skittles?
His sugar was up. Or sugar was down.
Sugar may have been up, diabetic. Yeah. I don't want to just make that assumption. I don't want to be reckless, but.
Right. Virginia Tech got a win, 21-10, probably a lot closer than they hoped it would be. But they got the win.
Richmond played well, though.
Richmond played well, but, you know, if you're the number 15 team in the nation, you're not trying to lose the struggle with Richmond, I would think.
At the crib, right.
Yeah. Miami had no problems against Central Connecticut. So it didn't matter if DJ played or not on that one. They got a chance to rest.
I think Junior could have played in that one at right now.
Yeah, that would have been he would have dominated. He would have dominated.
Coach.
How about you? Yeah. And then of course Duke with the dominant win over Kansas. which we all selected in that, which left us all, you and Kendrick at 7-3 and me at 8-2.
I should be 7.5.
I'll give you the half. I'm willing to give you the half. It's up to Charlie if he wants to give you the half.
Well, I know I ain't getting a half.
A half for what?
He wants to be 7.5 because he shouldn't be penalized for because he reselected in our group chat on the NC State game.
Early in the morning. So it wasn't even like the game started and I was like, oh, yeah, they're going to win. No, it was in the morning.
It was. You said I had a feeling is what you said.
On the elliptical.
Okay. Yeah.
So if that's the case, then let me start doing my picks. Yeah. Let me start doing my
picks.
We'll
give you a half.
I don't think you're getting that half, Kendrick.
I know I ain't getting a half, but all right.
But I will say this. And shout out to betonline.ag. If you're betting with us week to week, you're winning money. You are up. Right. And doing quite well. No matter who you go with. So that's something. All right. Are you guys ready to pick some games this week?
Yes, sir.
All right. Let's see what we got going here. Let me grab my trusty pencil. Here we go. And we will start out with the Thursday night game, Virginia and Miami. Mr. Ward, who you got?
I don't know.
Where is that game at?
That game is at Miami, I believe.
Miami, Thursday night, coming off a huge win. Virginia coming off a blowout loss.
Is DJ... Will he be back by the end? That's the real question.
I doubt it.
I'm going Miami that game.
Still?
At home.
At home Thursday night.
I don't think Virginia defensively, I'm not sure where they are. Offensively, I think they're good.
Mm-hmm.
But defensively, I think they're struggling.
I think it's going to be tough to go into Miami on a Thursday night when the whole world is watching. or at least half the world. Because well, you know what? They the might get the whole world. Where's that Jacksonville? Where's that Jacksonville Cincinnati game? Is that in Cincinnati?
I'm not sure.
I think that game is in Cincinnati. And if it is, then all of Florida will be watching Miami and Virginia.
Wouldn't matter if it was in Jacksonville. Who outside of Jacksonville and Cincinnati wants to watch that?
That's actually a good point. I'm going Miami with that one as well. I don't know what to do with this game. I'll be honest with you. I don't know what to do with this game. Pitt and Georgia Tech. Is that Georgia Tech? You going Georgia Tech?
Yes. They play well. Their defense is nasty. I don't care how you try to slice it. They run that three-man front, and they got dudes flying around. They're not bad defensively. You know, offensively, I think they got some momentum. With Jeff Sims coming into the game,
right?
For Gates, and of course, if Jeff Sims can hit his target passing wise, they'll be a dynamic offense because he definitely can run it. And so I'm going with Joe. I go with Georgia Tech, even though
Pickett, I think your biggest frustration, Charlie, is that you hate Pitt's offense.
Maybe that's the case.
Where are you going?
My thing with Pitt is I don't know who's going to show up. I mean, they play well at Tennessee, then come home and lay an egg. So which Pitt team is going to show up? Because of that inconsistency, I think I'm going to stick with Georgia. I'm going to go follow Coach Ward and go with Georgia Tech.
I will join you gentlemen with that same pick. The rivalry game this week, Duke at UNC. Who you guys going with?
You see,
you already know where I'm going, so I don't even understand why I'm asking this question.
Wait, this is the thing when I make my arguments all the time about who has the better rivalry. And I'm like, when Duke and Carolina plays in football,
no one cares.
Nobody cares.
It's a rivalry in name only.
Can we trust Duke?
I trust Duke more than I trust Sam Howell.
What did this man do to you? What is this force in his truck?
I rode for him for a whole season. I will not be burned again.
I'm going with Sam Howell.
I'm going UNC too because they're playing at home. They play right. Much better.
Sam Howell bounces back, and he gets his revenge on Lloyd Spence.
I see what's happening. You two like to learn lessons the hard way. It's fine. It's totally fine. All right. Let's
apparently
go with
you
Louisiana.
Learned one the hard way. That's why he's so mad.
I'm free. I am a free man now. I'm never going to trust this guy again. Okay. Louisiana Tech, North Carolina State. I think this is pretty simple on this one.
I'm picking NC State, but beware of the letdown coming off that big win.
Ooh, okay. All right.
I'll go with NC State.
All right. And then, of course, the interesting one to me, Boston College at Clemson.
Yeah, Boston College gave Clemson a game at Clemson not too long ago, right?
I got to be honest with you. I think the fear factor is over. I'm going Boston College. For the first time in years, Clemson gets the double loss.
Their defense is still good.
I agree.
And so I'm sure offensively they can play a little bit better.
You sure? You're sure is what you said.
But is Boston College defense good too? I mean.
Okay, so if it comes down to whose offense do you trust more, do you trust Boston College offense more than you trust Clemson's defense? Because Clemson's defense can stop you, but they have not proven they can get points.
I trust Clemson's defense more than Boston College's offense. Therefore, I'm going with Clemson.
Okay. And I'm assuming Charlie is going the same way?
Yes, I'm going with Clemson.
All right. At home. All right. So then that leaves us with two of the big games. A game that got way more interesting after Saturday. Is Syracuse for real, or can Florida State rebound?
I mean, let's be honest. If they beat Florida State, we still won't know if they're for real or not. But
They're all coming out, Charlie, to take the shots.
I'm going with Charlie's nose. They showed me a lot in that comeback. They can run the ball. When their defense wants to play, they can lock you up.
Okay.
Louisville got conservative, whatever. But at the end of the day, after giving up 31 points in the first half and then totally shutting them out in the second half, I mean, that says something there. It says that they're still playing with heart.
Right.
I'm picking Florida State to win that game, get that first win.
Okay. Charlie, I already know where you're going.
I believe. I know they're still working, and I'm here to support them. And I just know at some point it's going to come all together. Now, Syracuse plays very good football, and they're playing good football. This quarterback, Schrader.
Yeah.
I think the new quarterback, Schrader, big kid. He's not bad in the run game. Pass-wise, I'm not 100% sure. I didn't really see him push the ball down the field much against Liberty. Mm-hmm. But it should be a very good game. But hopefully the nose can come out on top at home. We need for the nose to come out on top at home.
Right. I want to believe that Corbin, they found something in Corbin this weekend, and he found something in himself where his confidence is going to be at an all-time high.
Corbin and Ward.
And Ward.
But they've been doing this all season, though.
Yeah, they have. I just felt like he ran really, really, really well against Louisville. I thought he ran really, really well. Having said that, I'm going to go Syracuse.
Wow.
I'm going to go Syracuse because I feel like, number one, I want to send you guys some good karma. So yes. Maybe this becomes bulletin board material, and they say, they picked against us on that Believe show. We got to prove Lloyd wrong. I'm totally okay with that.
But you're doing that for Sam Howell every week.
Yeah, but it's working. It's working against Sam Howell, though. That's the only difference. All right. Final pick of the night, Louisville and Wake Forest. Who would have thought that at the beginning of the season that this would become a big game? Number one and number two in the ACC right now, going head-to-head early in the season. Who you got, guys?
The crazy thing is, for a brief second, very brief second, the thought of going to the game did briefly cross my mind because it is a huge game, but God. Yep. Kind of have a big game going on down the road on Saturday with Florida coming to UK.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Well, trumps that. But if Braden Smith didn't get hurt, if Montgomery was there for Louisville, I would pick the Cards. But it's hard for me to see them going into Wake Forest as beat up as they are and beating Wake Forest. I got to go with the Deacs.
So you believe in Wake Forest? You believe? You're all in?
I'm not 100% all in yet. But
it felt like you're all in just now.
I talked about Louisville's injuries. That's why I'm picking Wake Forest because of Louisville's injuries more than anything. Okay. But I really like what I've seen from Malik, and I'm so happy for Malik, the way he's playing. Malik Cunningham, U of L's quarterback.
Fantastic.
Played great in that first half.
Yeah.
But with those injuries that they have, it's hard for me to see them going in. And a Wake Forest team that's red hot right now, I got to go with the Deacs.
Okay. Charlie, which way are you going on this one?
I'm going with Wake Forest. Their offense is very hard to guard. They have a couple of receivers. You know, I think it's the Perry kid, and then five's name is it Roberson?
Let's see. I will have your back here in just a second. You said number five.
The other wide receiver. But their run game.
Ja'Kari Roberson.
Yeah, their run game is tough. Their backs are really, really patient and good.
Mm-hmm.
And they stick on those blocks, and their bikes just run off of them. And plus, they got, their defense is solid. They're not that, their defense is really, really good. If you sit back and watch them on the back end, the front end. So I just think it's tough to play against, them in their style. And then they got a bunch of pros. They got like 9 super seniors, and then they got 12 seniors.
Right.
Okay.
So you're talking about
grown men.
We're talking about all these men that's been in school for 6 and 5 and 6.
They got mortgages.
Yeah. So, one of the best defensive linemen didn't play the other night, Fox.
Mm-hmm.
And they still, won and played well. So I'm just not going to bet against them until they lose or show me some vulnerability. And at this point, they don't beat themselves. I think the most penalties they had was against Florida State.
Mm-hmm.
And so since that time, they had like 3 penalties for the whole game. That kind of discipline is going to help you win games, just being disciplined.
Yeah. Listen, it's hard to say anybody's playing better in the ACC than Wake Forest. But when you look at some of the realities, here's the reality. They beat a 2-2 Old Dominion team. They beat a 2-2 Norfolk State team. They beat an 0-4 Florida State team. They beat a 2-2 Virginia team. This is their first real test of the year. I am going with the Cardinals. I'm riding with Malik Cunningham. I think they got time to figure this game out. I think you're going to see an even more different offense out of Louisville than you saw this weekend, and it's going to be very Malik heavy, and that's going to be the X factor. I think you're going to see. I think Malik's going to break 100 yards this weekend because he has to. They got to off put something to open up this game for those receivers, or because there you got a young core, so they got to open up the game for them and see what happens. So I'm betting on Louisville this time. So. This is going to be an interesting week for us in these picks because I went against you guys on several places.
Yeah, you did.
Either I'm going to look like a genius or a fool, one of the two. So we will see. But anybody got any shout-outs as we close out for the night?
I'd like to shout out our Lady Seminoles. Soccer team. They're like 10-0, number 1 in the country.
Okay.
They're not flying on the radar. They're just beating teams.
No, there's no flying on the radar 10-0, Charlie.
As much as he wants them to.
As bad as you want them to, there is no flying under the radar 10-0.
They're playing some good soccer. They last couple of years they've been in the finals.
Mm-hmm.
Last year they gave the game away in a lot of ways. But this year, they went and got stronger. So they're playing really good soccer right now. So shout out to the Lady Seminoles soccer team. They're number 1 in the country.
Awesome. Kendrick, what are you going with this week?
I'm giving a shout out to the University of Louisville volleyball team and their head coach, Danny Busbum Kelly. She was my teammate on our golf scrambles. It's funny. Louisville's number 5 in the country, and not only are they beating everybody, they're sweeping all their opponents. They just swept Charlie's Knowles on Sunday.
Oh, my.
They swept Nebraska, number 6 Nebraska at Nebraska. They swept them.
Wow.
And so, they've won 3-2 twice. The rest of their games are all sweeps.
Wow.
So, shout out to the UofL women's volleyball team.
Wow. Well, I actually have 2 shout-outs. My first shout-out is to a high school football running back here in the great state of Texas, and more specifically in my city of Plano, a young man by the name of Ishmael Mahdi. Ishmael Mahdi is a senior who has gone through some very challenging times, but has still found his solace and peace on a football field. Through five games, he has already rushed for 1,000 yards on the season.
Wow.
And including 174 yards this weekend. Even though his team is terrible, they are 1-4, he still shows up every week and gives them everything he has. I'm so impressed with this young man and his consistency. So shout out to him. And then my last shout out of the evening is to Mr. Tucker of the Ravens for kicking a 66-yard field goal. My God, that was impressive.
That was impressive.
That was impressive. And we never show the field goal kickers love like that, so I got to show that brother some love.
I got a shout out that I should have gave last week, and I'm going to give it to him this week. Anytime you score 9 touchdowns in a game.
Yeah, that deserves a shout out.
That is Bullet East quarterback. Give me 1 second. His name is Travis Egan. He's had, not this past Friday, but last Friday, he was 13 of 24 for 375 yards and 6 touchdown passes.
Wow.
And then he had 6 carries for 81 yards and 3 rushing touchdowns. My man had 9 touchdowns in one game.
That's called a good day.
Yeah. And Bullet East is actually good. I know, Charlie, I know you're familiar. I mean, I know you're not familiar, but Lloyd, I know you.
I'm very familiar, yeah.
You know, they kind of been up and down, but they're actually pretty good this year.
Sounds like you're about to make a run this year. Yeah, that's impressive. 9 touchdowns is impressive.
Yeah.
That's impressive on any level. On any level. All right. Well, listen, that was a good show. I appreciate you guys. And that is Kendrick Haskins over there, who is we're going to start calling 9 TDs. Don't do that. Don't do that. It's the Eagles. Come on, man. Stop. You and Jay Jordan, stop. It's the Eagles. What are we doing? And then that is
back as you lost to the Falcons yesterday.
I know.
It was a close game, though.
They're all close in the NFL.
They lost 17-14.
We can't buy a win right now. We listen.
That's what I'm saying. See, whatever it is, you lost, but it was a competitive game.
Yeah, that's what I'm taking solace in. It was competitive.
No moral victories. No moral victories. You lost to the Falcons.
Yeah, I'm not.
Excited. I didn't take solace in Dallas barely losing to Tampa Bay. They lost.
I don't take any solace in it whatsoever. But with kids, I take solace in it. Like they're growing. But with grown men who are getting paychecks.
With mortgages.
Yeah, go do your job. Go do your job. All right. But that is our Coach Ward, who is always positive on this show, and we appreciate it. This is Believe in the ACC, and we'll be back next week. Until then, have a great Monday night. You've been listening to Believe in the ACC with Charlie Ward, Lloyd Spence, and Kendrick Haskins. Please like, follow, subscribe, and share from the Noisemakers page on Facebook and on YouTube. And you can also listen to us on Spotify, Apple Music, iTunes, and wherever podcasts can be heard. And join us next time on Believe in the ACC.